One of the Psalms says, come into his presence with songs of praise. Come into his presence with songs of praise. Scripture is quite emphatic about the importance of praising God. It means that we actually acknowledge what he has done. You know, when we talk about praise, we are concerned about what God has done. So that praise is a kind of a verbal applause, a way of saying, yay, God. And we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, we praise you. And he might very well say to us, why? What do you mean, why? Why are you praising me? What thrills you about me? What thrills you about the works I've done? Why are you praising me? It's interesting that the Jewish nation spends a lot of time in their feast days remembering. The whole thrust is to remember what God has done. And it's not just something that they grasp in their head, but that the remembering stirs the heart and hopefully draws them closer and closer to the Lord himself. So I think we really need to, when we come into praise, to be very specific about what it is that we come to him. And maybe find some other verbs beside the word praise. Like, Lord, I'm just thrilled with your universe. The sun, which gives us light that makes it possible for us to live, gives us heat to keep us warm. Without it, we would freeze to death. It gives us the ability to grow food. Without the sun, plants would die. Lord, how wonderful you are. Or like enamored, I'm enamored by you, Lord. We can talk about the universe and go on and on. Thrilled, enamored, Lord, I enjoy being in your universe. How wonderful it is. How thoughtful, how considerate, how loving, Lord God. That's all praise. You're actually telling him specifically. Specifically. It means you're aware of what he has done. First of all, in the universe. Secondly, be aware of what he is doing in your life. So many things we take for granted of just kind of passing, oh yeah, it just happened. Things don't just happen in our lives. God is involved in everything. He permits it. All the good things that happen, he permits them. Thank you, Lord, for my car. I can't believe that I got that at such a good deal. How wonderful you are, how considerate, making it possible for me to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting. I had, my tires were about ready to fall apart, and I was a little cautious about even going on any type of trip in the evening, but you gave me such a wonderful deal and I was able to get that. And I know it was you, because the salesman himself was dumbfounded that the price was so low when I walked in. You know. So what is he doing in your life? So it's very positive things. The Lord told us a long time ago, and he repeats it periodically, accept whatever I send you. And so we learn how to get enthralled with the suffering that he gives in our lives. He doesn't permit that just to be mean. He's always thinking beyond what we think. When I was in Florida, and we had our school, and they decided to plant a big coconut tree on the front lawn. And the man told me, he says, "Now look, when you water this coconut tree, they bring the whole crazy thing in, full blown, and plunk it in the hole in the ground, sandy soil. And they say, now water this thing for 8 hours. I said, "You must be kidding. 8 hours." He said, "If you water this daily, only at the surface, what will happen is the roots will stay at the surface because that's where the water is. They'll run out and get it, and next it'll dry out pretty fast. So, the question as to how good the roots will be. But if you succeed in keeping this thing alive, the first good windstorm will blow this thing down because the roots are at the surface. What you want them to do, want the water is to go down deep, so when the surface goes dry, the roots will look deeper, and they'll go down deep and deep and deep, and that tree will not move like a tree planted near running streams. Remember that? You get down deep, and you're not going to move that tree. The Lord does that with us too. He allows us to experience trials on the surface so that we go learn how to live in our deeper self, go down deeper into Him. The trials often will prune away our attachments to earthly things to the point where we exclude Him. He prunes those off. I think I've shared this once before, but there was a man up in Dayton who had a big, beautiful apple tree. Trouble is, the apples were worm-eaten, they're small and cruddy, and he says, "This is crazy." And he had a pretty good-sized farm, so he says, "I'm going to root this thing up." So he dug around, went out about 10 feet out, and chopped down every root he could on the surface. And he tried to pull this thing up, and he put a tractor on it, and that thing lifted the tractor. So he said, "I'm not going to do this too well. I'm going to find another way of doing this." He did that, I think, in the spring. That summer, he had the most beautiful apples. And he says, "You know what happened? That tree was spending its energy staying on the surface, building more and more roots. We cut those off. It went down." He says, "So it wasn't spending its energy on the roots. It was spending its energy on the fruit." Sometimes the Lord has to cut our roots because we're spending too much energy, too much time on the surface. And that's not going to last into eternity. The best thing He can do is prune the roots on the surface so that we come down to what is really important, our deep inner being, which is the part of us that's going to last forever. Everything else passes away. That's the one that lasts. That's where He wants you to invest your life. And He tells us, "Accept what I send you. Go with the flow." There are people who, over the years, have come and said, I'm having these desert experiences. Well, what do you mean by desert? Well, everything is kind of dry. Dry. I said, "Well, Lord may be drawing you deeper, but what's going on? How's your prayer life?" "Well," I said, "I don't get anything out of prayer, so I just don't do it." I said, "Well, if you're dry, it's your own fault. Don't try to elevate it to some type of a divine intervention. That's you. Get your act together. Show up. He's there waiting for you. You'd miss all your appointments." So sometimes those so-called dry experiences are our own fault. We don't give Him porterhouse steak time, we give him the scraps, leftovers of our day. And we wonder, and when we're worn out, and we wonder why we don't pray well. We're too tired, we fall asleep. The Lord is calling us to praise him, to become aware of that, because that type of an awareness of his love bonds us to him. And when you begin to bond, we get to the next layer, which is called worship. As we become enthralled with what God has done for us, he gives us with a grace the sudden awareness of something totally different. It's an awareness of who he is. Not what he has done, but who he is. Yeah, we hear the word God, but that's up here. The awareness comes down in here, and it's a experience. That's when you're into worship. It's like you're so aware of who he is. He's not your neighbor who's done a lot of good things for you. This is the creator of the universe, whatever it is. Sometimes it isn't even in words. It's just an inner, and you don't even want to try to send it up to your head to put it into words. You just stay there with him. That's when you're into worship. And as you know, without going in, the next thing is, that can so overwhelm you that it actually doesn't overwhelm only the soul, the faculties of the soul, but it can come to the point where it overwhelms the whole body, and you end up prostrating yourself before the Lord. It's called adoration. There's steps. You enter into his courts with songs of praise, and as that grows, he blesses us with an awareness, sudden awareness, deep within us of who he is. And as we get into that deeper level, our deeper self, we actually are entering into the new life that God has done. You are a new creation. It's a life in which he has filled us with a tremendous amount of love. We don't feel it in our upper self, but God assures us that he has filled us with great love, and that love can be expressed to God essentially in only one way, as it seems to me. I may be wrong, but it seems to me only one profound way, which is given us the Holy Spirit, where Jesus has said, or Paul has said, we really don't know how to pray at that level. But God helps us in our weakness. And he gives us the Holy Spirit, who expresses it in a way that our humanity never could. This is a profound prayer. It is our prayer. It's just that we don't know how to do it. We get a lawyer to do some of the stuff, and he does it in our name. Okay. It's interesting that advocate is another name for lawyer, for a Holy Spirit. But he expresses it for us. And God the Father honors that, accepts it, because he knows it's coming from us. Yes, he has given us that gift, but it is our gift. It belongs to us, and we can use it, and we do use it for his glory. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. So I think what I might share briefly for kind of in conclusion, that this week you may want to spend some time in your prayer answering the question of the Lord. Why are you praising me? And you might think in terms of the world, in the terms of what he has done for you, and your family, and the trials he has given you, and you look back and remember, you are surprised that even though it was a treacherous experience as you were going through it, as you came out, you notice that there's a new peace, there's a new joy, there's a new consolation. It just blows your mind. And you never would have taken that road yourself. But he took you through it, you cooperated with it, and you're delighted. The Lord has done marvels in our lives. He's done marvels in this community. And I just invite you, when you go home this week, to spend time that way, so that next week when we come here to praise and worship, you will, when you come to praise him, you will have specific things and words other than praise, like, Lord, I'm enthralled. Lord, I enjoy being with you. I'm enamored. I'm thrilled, and so forth.